Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I trust you've been encouraged and strengthened to face another week. Maybe you have enough in your basket that you could go home and you could face the week and still feel like you've worshiped this morning and been blessed. I think I could, but we come to this point of the message and or point of the service and want to share a message the Lord has laid on my heart. I feel He's called me to share it here this morning. I've enjoyed that song. I always enjoy it when peace like a river. Can I claim that kind of peace? Spafford was going through a terrible time in his life, a time of trial. And he could pen these words. What about you and I? Well, I have a different song I'd like to maybe springboard the message off of this morning. And another very familiar song to us, and that's song number 153 in our Hymns of the Church. I would like to ask maybe a simple question. We know what this is. We know it's a pen. I use them many times in a day, and I'm sure you do too. How many have ever ran a pen dry of ink? Okay, we see many hands. They run out of ink after a while. This in here is out of ink too. Okay. But you take this song 153, and you take the little bit of ink that's in these pens, and you know how you can run them out. For the school, I do some ink cartridge refills for the printers, and you buy ink in a bottle, and it's not that big of a bottle, and it fills many ink cartridges, prints many pieces of paper. But then you take this song, verse 3: Could we with ink the ocean fill? That much ink? And were the skies of parchment made that big a paper? And were every stock, anything you could dip into this ink and start writing, if everything was a quill, and every man could write really fast, he was a scribe, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could this scroll contain the whole, a stretch from sky to sky. And as I ponder those words and the message I have for this morning, I want you to think about the love of God. This morning the message is taken from a very, very familiar verse in the Bible, and that's John 3:16. And you can turn your Bibles to that passage. Because John 3:16 talks about the love of God. And you think about that song and what it takes to explain the love of God. If we're going to try to do justice to the love of God this morning, we can't do it. We're going to drain our imaginations. We're going to drain everything we have to realize that we just can't hardly explain the love of God. But we're going to strive to put a little bit of thought into this verse. In John chapter 3, verse 16, let's read that at this time. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is a precious verse in the Bible. It is a foundational verse. That God sent His Son to die for you and I. Our world today takes love so much and cheapens it. It cheapens it to the fact that I wish we could have a different word for what the world sometimes uses for love. Now, if you go into the original meaning or original words, there's different words for it. There's eros, there's agape, there's phileo, there's some other types that they explain love as, and it changes a little bit. But in the English language, we just use love, and we forget what our Lord did for us, the love that is spoken in this verse here. And so we're going to take this verse for the message here this morning, and we're just going to break it apart, and we're going to look at different parts of it. And so as we come into this, for God so loved is the first part I'd like to look at. And we know that we want to look at the first point. I've titled this the source of love. For God so loved. Who created love? Well, it's the same one that has created you and I. the beings that are able to love. God is the source of love. First John 4, verse 7 and 8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Okay, you can't get away from it. Love was created by God, and it was God has created and ordained it in the world, and we should go to Him to see what love is. Well, God created and made love, not Satan. We studied in Sunday school about this battle that we're in. And I'm here to tell you this morning that Satan only wants to destroy and to kill. There's no way to get around it, but he is the one that wants to destroy everyone and to kill. And he's just a destroyer, and he doesn't know what love is. But he understands the effects of love and the love that God has created and how it can be a beautiful thing. And he likes to disrupt it. God showed us the perfect example of love to us. The song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So." Can we grasp the fact that God is love and He is a source of love? And no matter what we do in life, no matter how much ink we use, no matter how big the paper is, we can't explain it. That brings us to the second point of our message here this morning as we go on in this verse in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." And I have here the extent of the love. It was the world. It's everyone. There is no one exempt this morning. It don't matter whether it's that drunk person on the street or whether it's you and I sitting here this morning. God so loved the world. He loved everyone. He loves you where you're at, but He doesn't like you in your sin. Not sure how to say what I'm trying to say there on that. But God loves you so much. He wants to see you come to Him. He wants you to walk with Him and to give your life to Him. And He wants to be there for you. And He wants to cleanse you from your sin. It's the extent of love. Well, love was taken into action as He loved the world. He gave a sacrifice for the world. Romans 5:8 says, "He gave while we were yet sinners." Yes, in our sinful state, He gave His life, His Son, for us while we're in our sinful state. The activities of Christ tell us that God loves us. What He has done for us tell us that He loves us. And the death of Jesus upon the cross declare that good news to us, that God loves us. You know, as Jesus was facing the cross, He pled with God. He said, don't have it wrote down in my notes, but, "Remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." And Jesus realized that He would like to bypass death and what He was called to do. "But not that my will, but Thine be done." And he's pleading, is there no other way? But God in love made this way for you and I. And the extent of love is that He sent His Son and said, "Son, you need to go through it and give your life for these people." Well, they didn't stay there. In love, God in love for His Son, as He made that provision for you and I, He raised Him to life again. And then we have also in Hebrews 7:25, the intercession that Jesus is still doing for us. And God loves us so much, and He has made a way of salvation for us, for the whole world. For God so loved the world. And I want to challenge each and every one of us. If God loves the whole world and He has pulled you and I out of the world and has cleansed us, Shouldn't it affect us to go out and want to reach those that are out there, to bring them in, and to tell them of God's love? He loves the sinner and hates the sin. Remember, God loves us all, no matter what we have done, no matter our position in life, and no matter how worthless you feel, God loves you. D.L. Moody one time, and maybe you've heard me say this before, I've always been, as I've heard this said in my growing up years, and D.L. Moody said this one time in his testimony. Him and a minister friend were walking down the street, and they saw this man that was drunk laying beside the road. And the other minister that was walking with him said, "Oh, what a disgusting specimen of humanity." And D.L. Moody said, "But for the grace of God, there was I." God loves each and every one. No matter where you are, no matter your position in life, no matter how worthless you feel, God loves you. Matthew 22, as we think of God's love, we come to those verses there where the commandments, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." As we think of God's love for the world, it should cause us to have love for our brothers and sisters. It should cause an effect in our relationships with one another. Love should cover many things. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. We know this is a Sermon on the Mount. And I'd like to read some verses here in Matthew chapter 5. Let's start reading in verse 43. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So as we ponder these verses here, I'd like to pull out mainly verse 45. And as we think of the love of God and His love for the whole world, think what His love is doing. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust, those that deserve it and those that don't. He sends it alike. He makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He has it in His power to not, but in His love. He wants to just realize, make it known. He wants to make it known to everyone His love for them. And His pleading for them, I believe, is in that too, to come and give their lives to Him. So the question for us this morning, as we ponder God's love, the extent of love, do we love the Lord God? Do I myself love the Lord God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do I love my neighbor as myself? Can I somehow reach out and grasp how God loves me and how I should love those about me? The third one, we want to go into John 3:16. That He gave His only begotten Son. And I've touched on this maybe a little bit already, and I have titled this The Sacrifice of Love. Love has given something. I'm here this morning to tell you that love today gives something. Agape love gives, even when you might not receive. You see, God gave His only begotten Son when you and I were sinners, when we didn't deserve it. When He maybe knew, and He knew, that some of us maybe would refuse Him in our lives. He gave the sacrifice of love. He gave because He loved us so much. His creation, those He had created, He loved them. And it moved Him to give. And so what did He do? He sent His best. His only begotten Son. His very best that He had, He sent. He didn't just say, as you as creation, I love you. But you fend for yourselves. Adam and Eve made the wrong choices in the Garden of Eden. You just fend for yourself and decide how you're going to be saved. And if there's a possibility. No, he didn't do that. He made a provision for us in his love. It did move him to give. The question comes to us. Does the love in our lives give? There is many places in our lives that we have opportunity to give. Lord has blessed a lot of us with family. He's blessed many of us with wives. He's blessed all of us with friends. There is so many areas you can put more there to that list in the way the Lord has blessed you. Areas where you can give and give a sacrifice out of love. Love in our lives gives and extends ourselves to better one another. Let's remember, in our love, as we try to fathom God's love for us, in that he sent his Son to die for you and I, and his sacrifice that he gave there. And remember that God does not discriminate between one another. He gives his love just as freely to one as to the other. Can we somehow apply it to our own lives? His Son Jesus came, and as we think of the only begotten Son that was given here, his Son Jesus came and he gave. And he gave, and he gave. He gave to those that came to him with needs as he was walking and living in this life. He gave his life for you and I. He gave his life into death. And he gave you and I freedom from sin as God raised him from the dead again. Let's go to the fourth one. That whosoever believeth in him, for God so loved the world that he gave his own only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, and we're going to stop there, and I have titled here the response to love. We have something to do in it. God has reached out in his love. He has reached out and made a way for our lives to be washed clean. And now this here part of this verse, I believe, is when we can look at ourselves and realize that we have a part to do. We have to believe in him. We must make a response to love. We need to step out in faith and believe that he has made the provision for you and I. I'm here to tell you this morning, it doesn't change the fact that God loves us whether we respond to it or not. We can't change that. God loves us. It doesn't change that fact whether you respond to God's love or not. God's love is there. But what it does change is what happens to the rest of the verse. Whether you respond to it or not affects your outcome in life. Turn back to that John 3:16. I want to look at the verses in verse 15 and 16. Of that passage. I'd like to just read verse 15 to go with this point. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. In other words, verse 15 is highlighting what's in verse 16 as well. And did you notice he said it twice? That whosoever believeth in him. Now when I want somebody to one of my children maybe or something to really catch something that I say. I'll maybe say it once and then I'll re-say it again. Maybe that's what he's saying in here. Did you catch the point that you need to believe in him? We have something to do. We need to respond to God's love. Maybe the part of the struggle in this point is the whosoever will. We grew up in Mennonite homes. Maybe we don't struggle with it as much as we think we do. Or, no, that's not the way I meant to say it. Maybe we don't think we struggle with it is what I'm trying to say. I want to put it this way to you. What do you think when you see that person standing on the street corner in Ithaca begging for something? Now, I know sometimes you have to be cautious because these people are professional beggars. I'm not going around that. But we have so many needy people about us. Do we realize that that whosoever, that person there, no matter what they have done in life, believeth in him? Maybe the whosoever gets a little closer home than we like to admit. We don't tell somebody else about God's love because we forget that God can clean them up and make them different. So I want to again highlight that statement I've made before. As I've shared it under God's love, the extent of love. No matter what we have done, no matter our position in life, no matter how worthless you feel, God loves you. He loves you and I. Make it personal and believe. And when we truly believe, we act on it. We respond to God's love and we will believe in Him and we will apply ourselves to what He has for us. And our lives desire to be more like Him. Let's go on to the next point of this. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, what's the answer to it? Is there something if you believe? Yes, it is. It should not perish but have everlasting life. And I've titled this The Result of Love. Our bodies today are dying. We live in dying bodies. Yes, you can be the youngest individual here, a little baby. And yes, your body is growing at that point in time and your bodies are replenishing. And they actually say sometimes you can have operations remove gallbladder or kidneys or something. But anyhow, that you can remove some organs and they will grow back again. My father-in-law had it happen to him. He had it removed at a young age and it grew back. And the doctors didn't know how to operate or didn't want to go in and operate again because it was removed. But no, it came back. And it was causing problems. But there's a point in time where you reach your body is dying. Psalm 90 verse 10 says, our lifespan is 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is your strength labor and sorrow. I appreciated the devotions this morning as we thought about life. Well, there's a result of love. Love did something for us. And as you avail yourself to it, there's a promise held out to you and I. There is hope held out to you and I. We don't need to perish. We live in a dying world. We live in a world that people are scared of the COVID. Why? Because it's the death rate. But there's hope held out to each and every one of us. We should not perish but have everlasting life. It doesn't mean in this life. We might perish in this life. But what about heaven? What about heaven? Where are you going to be in eternity? Everlasting life. I like to think about that a little bit. Can you explain everlasting to me? I When I was at Bible school, I think I maybe mentioned it before, I challenged the students there. Can they explain eternal or forever? That's what the word I had. Can you explain forever to me? And I kept bringing that up to them as we went through the weekend there. And I think this everlasting life fits into it. Our minds can't grasp it. You know, it's kind of like that song I mentioned there, that 153. How to explain the love of God. Our minds just hardly can grasp it. When Peace Like a River had this in it. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. And that talks about when the Lord comes back, we're going to spend forever, eternity, everlasting somewhere. Here's the way I explained it. And I'm going to I didn't put this in my notes. I thought about it and I didn't, but I'm going to put it in now. At our wedding day, Brother Harlan Martin preached our wedding sermon. And my wife stayed at their place a while. And when they were living, she was living in PA. And he always, every time I met him, I believe he liked to bring up again the fact that one time when he got my wife into explaining a spiral staircase, he told her to explain a spiral staircase without using her hands. My wife likes to talk with her hands many times. I do too sometimes. But it's hard to do. Sometime you'd go home and try it. Explain to somebody a spiral staircase without using any motions. You got to liken it to something. There was a brother that did it, and I won't give you that how he did that. He explained it without using his hands or making any motions. But you got to liken it to something. So it is with the everlasting life, I believe, in eternity and forever. If you go in a phone and type in infinity, I believe that's the word it is, it comes up with a symbol, and I didn't make the symbol, but it's like a figure eight without any stopping. And it's laid sideways on your phone screen. Or maybe you could just put the word, or put a circle there, and make sure the ends all match up. And I'm going to explain eternity and forever that way. You're in this circle. It's going around. Maybe in a computer, sometimes it seems forever as it loads. That little circle goes around and around. But there's no stopping to it. You find the end of a circle for me. And you're going to be always searching for it. Can we grasp eternity? Everlasting life that God holds out to us. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And He holds that out to you and I. We have something to do. We need to believe on Him. But can we do it? John 3. And we're going to take this passage and we're going to go back to the start there as we ponder about this. Everlasting life, where does it come from? Remember, John 3:16 is right after He talked to Nicodemus. And said to him, ye must be born again. That's part of believing in Him. To believe that you must be born again and that there's a change that happens in your life when you give your life to God. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's no way around it. You can't claim everlasting life without the new birth experience. And the new birth experience says there's a change from the old to the new. We go in John chapter 3 to verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that's talking about, you can go back to the children of Israel, as that they were beaten, bitten by snakes, and Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, and as the children of Israel looked at it, they were saved. So it is for you and I. The Son of Man must be lifted up, and we must have that look of faith at the cross and believe. Have a belief that changes lives and brings us to the light and keeps us in the light. It's a result of love. God's love for us. We can have everlasting life. It's held out to us. So the question in conclusion here this morning, am I responding to God's love? Have I left it affect my life? For God so loved the world. Is it affecting my life? Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John 2. Some closing thoughts. Some serious thoughts to ponder on. There's many more we could pull out, but I'd like to just go through 1 John and just pull out a couple thoughts in closing here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We live in the world. How close is the world to us? Do we love the world more than what we do the Lord? Some serious thought for us. If we do, the love of the Father is not in him. We don't believe on him, and we don't believe that he has what he says in his scripture as we ought to. And we're not availing ourselves to the result of love. First John chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Familiar passages to us. How is our love for one another? I believe that's one of the things that we can sometimes trip up on. We forget to love one another as we ought to, and we forget what God has loved us with. And so we don't pass it on to those about us. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. For this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. And whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And it goes on there. There's many, many passages in 1 John that we could go to about love and how it should affect us in our lives today. The question I have again, am I responding to God's love? Am I believing on him? And I want to highlight again, am I really believing on him? Because if we really believe in God's love for us and that he has made the provision for us and it has left it affect our lives and we have the result of love living in our lives, God living in our lives, it's going to change every area of our life. Let's say John 3:16 together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's kneel for prayer.